Welcome to Generations Friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. Good to have you tuning in with us today. We look at the world through the eyes of the biblical worldview, taking a look at the news this morning. Looks to me like some public schools and universities are granting Muslim requests for prayer times, prayer rooms, and ritual foot baths, prompting a debate on whether Islam is being given preferential treatment over other religions. I guess that would include Christianity.
I didn't think you could pray in schools.
Well, you can if you're a Muslim. The University of Michigan at Dearborn is planning to build foot baths for Muslim students who wash their feet before prayer. Elementary school down in San Diego created an extra recess period for Muslim pupils to pray. All right, interesting, Dave, that polytheism is very popular among our educational elites today because, you know, it's just polytheism. Now, the two things about polytheism, number one is that our form of polytheism does not allow any god into the pantheon that says there shall not be any other god before me. You don't want any pig-headed gods coming into the pantheon. So that's why Christianity is outlawed in the public school today. Now, also, at the same time that we allow all these gods, you've got to support the statism that exists. In other words, this is Roman form of polytheism. Yes, we allow all gods, but please, you've got to allow the state to be God. All right, well, that's the form of God that dominates American culture today. Also, here's an interesting story out from London. This is AP. British teenagers are among the worst behaved in Europe. A study by a leading center-left think tank said Thursday, exposing high levels of fighting, binge drinking, drug-taking, underage sex, etc. Institute for Public Policy Research, favored by former Prime Minister Tony Blair, said young Britons were not to blame. They're not to blame for their fighting and binge drinking. All
the rest. That was the kids who were doing that, not Parliament.
Yeah, but here's why. It's Parliament's fault, Dave. It's the government's fault. See, the government has taken responsibility for the kids. So if the kids are acting badly, you blame the government. That makes sense.
Sounds to me like they were acting like Parliament, binge drinking and all that.
Yeah, yeah. NEA pushes a homosexual agenda in public schools. What else is new? Apparently, the NEA Executive Committee just met, and they had some 9,000 delegates there present at the Representative Assembly. But anyway, the approved recommendations, which were delivered briefly in an Executive Committee report, did not require a vote of the Assembly. Called for NEA to lobby for hate crimes legislation, so they're pro-hate crimes legislation, boost the NEA website to include all resources devoted to homosexual causes, and push for sexual orientation training to be a requirement for earning a teaching credential. So they want to make sure that all of the teachers in America are carefully indoctrinated in the pro-homosexual doctrine, the orthodoxy that now rules in American universities and, of course, public schools, too.
And, Kevin, what makes this news is that last year they brought a similar proposal to the floor where it was voted on and defeated. So this year they did an end around the vote of the NEA members. The NEA membership, of course, is teachers. They're not quite that liberal. So the NEA had to take things into their own hands this year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what's happening in public schools. And, again, I guess that brings up the question, why are we sending our kids to these schools again? Well, Dave, you know that those who graduate from schools are now 70% in favor of homosexual marriage in America. And those who have graduated from schools back in the 40s and 50s, the older folks are still some 45, 48, 49% in favor of homosexual marriage. So most definitely the schools are making all the difference in the world for the homosexual agenda. And I think the homosexuals are thrilled about that. Well, also in the news today, this is from Baptist Press, leading Democratic presidential candidates said July 23rd they believe young women should register for Selective Service, the National Registry for Use for Drafts in Times of War. Currently, only young men are required to register upon turning 18 years old, and not doing so disqualifies them for federal student aid. Most federal employment could also result in a fine, imprisonment for up to 5 years. So this is Barack Hussein Obama and also Hillary Clinton is saying, hey, we got to sign up our women for Selective Service. Got to happen. And, folks, let me ask you this question. Are you ready for your daughters to fight in combat? Are you ready for them to go out and defend this nation? Is this what you want for your daughters? I think a lot of dads are out there saying equal opportunity pain, equal opportunity sacrifice for the country sounds good to me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what does the Word of God have to say about this? Granted, you know, some dads maybe don't care, but hey, we're going to talk about it. A couple of dads in studio. We love our daughters, and we also want to use God's Word. We want to interpret these issues through the eyeglasses of God's Word. We're also going to look at the history of women in combat. That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org. Also, be sure to check out their bookstore on the south side of Denver on Parker Road.
Welcome back to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson here with you on my side. And looking at a sticky issue, not everybody agrees on this particular issue of whether or not our daughters ought to be included in selective service. That is for the draft. Certainly the Democratic candidates love that. And, Dave, it really comes from a viewpoint that is an egalitarian viewpoint. Came from Karl Marx. Karl Marx, also Plato, we're going to refer to that in just a moment. But in history, what you find is there have been women who have acted in combat, who have done things and taken on the enemy and actually done some good things for the cause of what is good and what is right. In some cases, I think of Jael in the Bible. Jael is pounding the big nails. And that was quite appropriate. She pounded some tent pegs through the head of an enemy general, and it was a good thing. And the Bible commends her for that. And there's a song that I think Deborah wrote in favor of that great action. Now, the question is this normative? Do we send our daughters out into combat on a normative basis? Now, if you look back into history, you find thousands upon thousands of examples of individual women who did brave things in the time of war. Jael's an example. Molly Pitcher would be another who was pressed into service. But these were pressed into service in an exceptional basis. I mean, think about Jael, Dave. She was not part of the army. She was milking the goats, and she was doing the work in the home, and voila, Sisera. The enemy general shows up at her doorstep or at her tent step, and there she is, and she gives him a little milk. He goes to bed, and he wakes up with a really bad headache.
I think what we're saying is that in the case of Jael, she was not a frontline soldier. She was not part of the first wave. She wasn't even really a warrior. She was the very last line of defense. She was the line of defense at the home. So when everything else fails, the woman's going to protect her home. She's not out leading it, though. She's the last line of defense. And in her case, she offered a little hospitality. She put the nail through the head. But see, she wasn't carrying a sword. She wasn't, or carrying a rifle if they would have had them in those days. She wasn't in the chariots. She was, being a woman, a keeper at home and a protector of her home.
Absolutely. Now, if you look at women in combat in history, folks, you don't see what we are doing right now in America very much. There are a few examples. Now, again, thousands of examples where women have done tremendous things on an exceptional basis, not a normative basis, an exceptional basis. They were not in combat. They did not prepare for war. They weren't in the army. They weren't in the barracks. They did not march with the troops. There were thousands of examples of women who did things on the sidelines in history, very, very brave acts that contributed to the cause of defending their homes and their country. But there are a few examples of women who were inducted into combat by the thousands, or at least by the hundreds, and one example would be Sparta. Sparta, one of the first in history, as far as anybody can find, where a Spartan princess acted as a captain of a group of female soldiers who fought Pyrrhus during the siege of Lacedaemon. And Sparta, of course, had been in decline for 150 years. This was at the very end of Sparta's existence, my friends. This is a sign of a nation at its very, very, very last breath. And Sparta had been, again, in decline for 150 years prior to this particular event. Also, in 102 BC, a battle between the Romans and the Celts took place, and Plutarch described it as a fight that had been no less fierce with the women than with the men themselves. The women charged with swords and axes and fell upon their opponents, uttering a hideous outcry. So it was examples of pagan Celts that entered into battle, and the women were there as well as the men. Now, after reinforcements arrived for the Romans, the men were killed, but the women continued to fight. When the Cimbrian women saw that the defeat was imminent, they killed their children and themselves. So this is, again, another horrible, horrible rout, an example of a pagan tribe that was utterly wiped out, at least in that particular battle. Also, during the American War for Independence, it was estimated that 5,000 women accompanied the British forces. Many of them were wives of high-ranking officers. They were accompanying the forces as powder monkeys, or assisting the surgeon, as cooks, as nurses, etc., etc. And several were caught in combat and killed or taken prisoner. So there are examples in the American War for Independence where women assisted on the sidelines. But they were not inducted into the combat as the others were. Women have had the legal right to serve in the Russian armed forces throughout the post-Second World War period, so we began to see it among the Russians during the post-World War period. By the early 1990s, 100,000 women made up 3% of the Russian armed forces, with the current tally standing around 115,000. Representing about 10% of Russia's military strength. The first major women's force in the modern age occurred in 1792, when 8,000 women served openly in the French army in informal local defense troops. That was between 1792 and 1794, again, during the French Revolution, which was, again, the utter decline of the French Empire. That was pretty much the end. They put a fork in it. It was over by the 1790s, and France became basically the armpit of Europe after that. So what we find is when women are inducted into combat, at the point where the men no longer have the will to lead and the will to fight, in war, you find the decline of these nation-states like Sparta, 1790s France, and other places like that. So now, in the current day, what we've got are women making up about 9% of the British armed forces, 12.8% of the Australian forces, and 20% of the American forces. Now, where does this egalitarian worldview come from? It comes ultimately from Plato's Republic. Remember, Plato wanted to abolish private property in the family. He wanted women engaging in the gymnasium at the same level as men. He proposed that they be naked in the gymnasium as well. And he also supported women in combat. He says, quote, "Our women must strip for exercise then. Their character will be all the clothes they need. They must play their part in war and in all other duties of a guardian." Also in Book 5 of Plato's Republic, "Our men and women guardians should be forbidden by law to live together in separate households. Their wives should be held in common by all. Similarly, children should be held in common, and no parent should know his child or child his parent." Plato really believed in this brave new world, Dave, where there was no family. The family didn't exist. The father didn't feel like he should defend his wife because the husband didn't exist. They shared their wives. These were temporary liaisons, which is effectively the way families are today, with all the divorces and the shacking up rate as high as it is, and of course 37% of children born without fathers. What we have today, Dave, is the mess that Plato proposed in the Republic.
It's very interesting, isn't it? In all those examples where women step forward into war, or are oppressed into war, or at least told that they should be warriors, we see a decaying society behind it. We see not just a loss on the battlefield, but interestingly enough, we see the loss of civilizations where women are present, largely because men have stopped leading, because the destruction of the family that must follow. It must follow if women, if mom becomes a warrior, mom is not there raising the children. If mom is not helpmeet to her husband, marriages are destroyed. The society crumbles when the women become warriors.
Dave, this is the worldview of the socialist. They want to dismantle the family. They do not want the family unit. They want the individual, men and women, feeling like they belong to a large corporate state. They're plugged into the state. The only meaningful relationship they have is with the state. And everything they have in life is to defend the state, not the family. The family is not an issue in the modern world. So why are women in combat today to the tune of 20%, probably more than in any other time in history? Number one, because the empire is falling apart. Number two, because the family in America is the weakest in the Western world. Number three, because we have 37% of children born without fathers, and fatherhood has virtually disappeared. There is very little passion, very little interest in the hearts of most men today to be fathers and husbands defending their wives and daughters. They couldn't even think that that would be a possibility because the family is no longer an issue in the minds of the average American father or husband or whatever that man is. And so that's why you're going to have 20% of the combat forces being filled by women.
Well, I think it's also rebellion, just a rebellion against God's order. If he says that the women are to be meek and quiet spirits, well, that doesn't describe a soldier very well, does it? They're neither meek nor are they quiet. They're aggressive and they're loud.
All right, we want to ask the question, folks, today. What does the Bible say about this? Number one is the hearts of fathers, I think, really ought to turn back to their homes, to their daughters, to their sons, to their wives. That would be a very, very important step to reestablishing the family as a meaningful unit. It's interesting, Dave, that as the secular society begins to demolish the family, which all secular societies do that eventually. All humanist states begin to do that as they build their empires. But as they build their empires and as they destroy the family, Dave, guess what happens to the empire?
And the empire falls.
Exactly. And that's precisely what's going on. This nation has the weakest families in the Western world, my friends, according to a Rutgers University study. And the nuclear household only makes up 49% of households in America. We will not be the nation we are today 20 years from now. Yes, I know we have technology, and I know we have women who know how to push buttons, all right? But we don't have the character to establish ourselves as a nation, as an empire, and to subsist and exist, say, 20, 30 years from now. Our nation will not be the nation we were today, 20, 30 years from now.
And, Kevin, I think that's because there's a fundamental difference in the view of society between the secularist and those with a Christian worldview. The secularist thinks that a society is built up of individuals. The Bible talks about a society built up of households. So you either have household unity or you have individuals, and of course, there you have total disunity.
Yes. All right, what does the Bible say about it? What's the normative for combat? Deuteronomy 20 is very clear. It's the men that go to combat, and I believe there it says 20 years old and upward. And Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14 brings out a really, really similar context. It says, you shall fight for your wives. You shall fight for your sons and your daughters. Dave, doesn't ever say you shall fight for your husbands. You don't find that anywhere. Normatively, in the Word of God, the women do not fight. The men go to war, not the women.
And we see that the pattern is repeated in the New Testament, even as husbands are told to lay down their lives, to sacrifice themselves for their wives, even as Christ did for his church. So we see that there's a pattern of sacrifice, that men are doing it on behalf of the women. That is the pattern that is clearly through Genesis to Revelation explained and seen over and over again throughout Scripture.
And Dave, you remember the Birkenhead drill back in the late part of the 19th century? You had the ship going down on the southern coast of South Africa, and there were sharks in the water. There weren't enough lifeboats for everybody, so the men jumped in the water and left the lifeboats for the women and children. Women and children first. Women and children first. That was the heart of men. Men who had that Ephesians 5 sacrificial model running through their bloodstreams. But then more recently, we've had a couple of shipwrecks where the women were kicked off and the sailors, the men and the boys, they survived. We've had a number of different situations where that's occurred in the most recent times. Of course, that's going to happen because of Karl Marx and Betty Friedan. That's their worldview. It's egalitarian. It's survival of the fittest. Kick the women off and you take the lifeboats. You'll be fine.
Well, the Birkenhead was the grandchildren and the children of some of the Scottish Covenanters, some very hardy Christian stock, and they understood that the man was to give himself up for his wife, for his children. The Bighorn, which is another boat that sank at roughly the same time, was a French boat. And, of course, the French had already thrown off the restraints of the Bible and what it meant to be a biblical household and the roles of men and women.
Oh, remember, they had women in the military as early as the 1790s.
That's right. And so when the French boat went down, it wasn't women and children first. It was whoever can get on the lifeboats gets on it. And there were stories of men clubbing women with the paddles on the lifeboat so that the men might survive. A really horrific difference between a biblical worldview and a secular worldview as it applies to real life and death situations.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening is we're abandoning a biblical model for the household, for the family, for the husband, for the wife, for the father, for the daughters. We've abandoned the biblical standard as the norm. And Dave, there are exceptions. And yes, there are exceptions. And someone often comes back to me and says, yeah, there are some exceptions. Women ought to be able to fight from time to time. Yeah, we just said that. The problem I have is when we make the exception the norm. This is a form of autonomy. Guys, this is a form of abandoning God as the source of law, as the source of ethics, and saying, I am the source of ethics. I don't need God's normative. I'm always the exception, okay? And the minute you say, we're always the exception, you're saying, I'm the source of law. There's so many examples, Dave, where this happens. Remember when celibacy became the norm for the leadership in the church? That happened for a while. Well, the Word of God says the norm is a man who rules his household well and has a husband of one wife can rule in the household of God. That's the norm from Timothy and Titus. The exception is what Paul calls exception, 1 Corinthians 7, that's singleness. When celibacy became the norm, we abandoned the Bible as the source of law. We used human tradition instead. Same thing for divorce. Divorce today has become the norm. God only reluctantly allowed it in the cases of porneia or adultery and abandonment, but divorce should not be the norm. It became the norm. Delegation of education has become the norm today. What is it in the Bible? The parents are responsible. The father is responsible. Mother is responsible. Deuteronomy 6, 7, Ephesians 6, 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way through the Bible. And yet Christians today take Samuel, which was the exception, a man who was a young boy is adopted by another man in the temple, and he was raised and educated in the temple by Eli. Christians take the Samuel, which was the exception, and make that the normative. Okay, so in all these examples, women in combat is the same thing. Women in combat is the exception. Jail is the exception. When she becomes the norm, again, we've abandoned the biblical standard for what the norm is for human life.
And Kevin, I say that women fighting is normative. But here's the thing. They're the last line of defense. They fight for their home, not for their nation. They fight for their husbands. They are his helpmeet. They have to engage the world, the flesh, and the devil every single day. They need to pray for their husband and for their households. They need to sanctify their household by holy living. And you know what? This is far more deadly than going out to Iraq and facing some IEDs, because the bullet kills the mom, but the devil wants the whole household.
Ladies and gentlemen, talking about applying the Word of God to every area of life, let me encourage you to seek the Word of God. What does the Bible have for the norm for women and for men? The Bible lays out specific, gender-specific passages throughout the Word of God for fathers, for sons and for boys, and for women, for wives and daughters. May God help you to go into His Word and find these things. Otherwise, you're going to see your entire empire coming down around you. You're going to see your household falling apart. You're going to find that eventually your sons, your daughters, your great-grandsons will eventually see their households come tumbling down because they did not build their lives on the words of God, and they built their house upon the sand. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
You have been listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson, where we take a look at life through a biblical worldview and a generational focus. If you've been challenged by this program, you need to get a copy of Kevin Swanson's new book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Get an upgrade at kevinswanson.com.